Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning to you, Mr. Ray. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great.
Ray, if we look at one text, and if we see 10 texts, 8 of them here from Steeler fans say, what's going on with camp? Can I go to Latrobe? What's happening? Am I going to be able to see my team? There are stories out of Baltimore where they're opening their camp. So, Ray, I'll ask you, because you are a man who covers the Steelers every single day, what's going on with Latrobe?
It's a big mystery, Colin. The employees inside that building still don't know. I mean, I talked to someone over the weekend, and they were just saying it's in the league's hands, and you know, they haven't found out if they're allowed to do it yet. Now, you know that Dallas has been cleared; they're going to Oxnard, California, like they usually do. But for whatever reason, the league has just taken their good old time with this, and they haven't told the Steelers what's going on yet. You know, we all know they would like to go up to Latrobe; they would like for it to be a normal experience. We'll see if that can happen. You do know that if fans are allowed, there are no autographs, there are no pictures. So it would be a little bit more curtailed than usual. But, you know, I think they could still get something out of going up to Latrobe if they're able to this year.
Well, and it's not just the team they're going to play in the Hall of Fame game, the only other team allowed to report on the 21st, Ray. But I just saw that the Ravens are going to be allowed to have fans at their training camp practices at their team facility. And they can have... I don't know what the number will be, but I guess their facility can house up to about 1,000 fans. And so now it's not just the team they're playing. It's another division rival who doesn't even start camp until 6 days after they do. It has a lot of us, including myself, and it sounds like everyone down on the South Side, scratching their heads wondering what the heck's going on.
I mean, listen, you know, we're less than a week away from July. They're going to have to let them know, you would think, by the end of this week. You have to plan to go up there. That sort of thing. But listen, if they do train in Pittsburgh again, and they're able to secure Heinz Field for the majority of those practices, I guess the good news would be that you could let fans inside Heinz Field as well, and you could have that type of fan experience at Heinz as you would in Latrobe. I mean, the downside is all those businesses up in that area would be sort of hung out to dry for the second year in a row. That wouldn't be good, but if the Baltimore Ravens are allowing fans, there wouldn't be any reason that the Steelers couldn't do that in Pittsburgh as well. So we'll have to wait and see, but I would be really surprised if we don't have a decision here by the end of this week.
Ray, my question is, why does the league have anything to say about this at all?
There we go. There we go.
No, seriously.
Jim.
No,
get him.
Why does the league have anything to say about this at all? Because it's not like the league says, hey, you know what, Steelers, we want you guys to go to St. Vincent College every year. Right? I mean, this is I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I guess just COVID protocols and, you know, whether the facility would, would be able to, you know, to deal with the types of things that you have to deal with during, you know, the tail end of COVID here. And I mean, Jim, you cover the team. You know, like I do, if there is camp at St. Vincent this year, we wouldn't be allowed to stay there. You know, it would just be the players and a very limited number of team personnel. A lot of the team staff that usually stays there, they would have to go home as well, or they would be put up in hotels, if it does happen. So they're actually, there wouldn't be two to a room. There would be one player to a room. So space would be limited up there. But I honestly, Jim, I don't have a good answer for you. The league is just dragging its feet on this one. And, for whatever reason, we're going to have to wait. Looks like a couple more days to find out.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here, and we're all brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. To the on-field stuff. Ray, and you know, I know you were talking about the offensive linemen a couple weeks ago when they had the mini camp. You're paying attention to them. Give me your, and I don't need fact here, I need opinion from you. Give me your gut on how you think the two tackles will play this year and why.
Well, I mean, with an improved running game, I think that Zach Banner can be a solid right tackle for this team. More of a road grader, run blocker type of a guy with his body. You know, we'll see if he can hold up in pass protection. We still don't really know that. They believe he can do the job, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. You know, and Okorafor is a guy who I think is he has the athleticism to play on the left side. But it's definitely a question mark as to whether he can get it done, you know, for the first time in his career. He's practiced there plenty of times. But people forget Al Villanueva never, ever missed a game. I don't know if he missed many snaps, you know, during his, you know, 5-6 seasons as the starter on the left side. So those are two big question marks. If I had to say right now, I think Banner will be solid, and I think Okorafor has a chance to be solid too. I don't think either are going to make a Pro Bowl or anything like that, but I think they can get by with those two guys.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette covers the Steelers, joins us every Wednesday at 8 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show. Zach was on with us yesterday, and I asked him just how different things are going to look to the naked eye of the average football fan week one of this season offensively with Matt Canada's system being installed. And he said, it's going to look pretty different. So I'll ask you, Ray, you got to watch OTAs, you got to watch minicamp, and without speaking out of school, because we know the wraps are on pretty tight as to what you can report on and not report on, how different do you expect it to look week one?
Yeah, I would agree with Zach. I think emphasis on running the ball and not only just lining up and handing off, but how you do that, right? Like linemen and 3-point stances and, different blocking schemes. They're going to run some different schemes than what Sean Surrett and Randy Fuechner did. So, we saw the motions, we saw the jet sweeps last year for the first half of the year when Matt Canada seemed to have a bigger influence on things. I think we'll obviously see that throughout the season now, but what you didn't see for an entire season, and you really didn't see it all last year, was an emphasis on the running game and then play action off that. So, the Steelers have been very successful, for a lot of their, when they won 6 Super Bowls here, they were known for running the ball in a lot of those years. We really haven't seen it for the last decade. So it's going to be interesting. A first round pick in Najee Harris, some new linemen, a new scheme, a new attitude too. So I think fans can look forward to that. And I agree with Zach. I think it's going to be a lot different from what we've seen really since 2010 when they kind of, started emphasizing the passing game over the running game.
You know, Ray, obviously it's not real football. And yet you can get glimpses in certain situations that you can see the real skills of certain players. And you mentioned Najee Harris, and I know that it's not an indicator that he's going to be great or maybe even really good. But, man, I was really impressed. The one-handed catches and just the way that he carries himself. And he looks like the real deal to me. Is that a fair observation?
Yeah, I mean we've heard it. Like, is it too much hype, that type of thing? His athleticism and his skills are the best I've seen in a while, since Le'Veon Bell was here. And I think Najee Harris.
Oh, my God. Here we go, Ray. You're guilty of what you said you didn't want to be guilty of.
I know,
but he's right.
In some ways, he's a little bit more athletic than Le'Veon was.
Here
I mean, so I don't want to do it to the kid. I just think, and this is a big if the line can be decent, if the line can be good, he's going to have an awesome season. A lot of this hinges on the line, so hopefully they can get that straightened out. But that guy has a chance to be special if they build around him and they block for him.
The time right now, Najee Harris time, apparently. It's also 8:11, brought to you by Goodrich and Geis. Get the good guys.
Goodrich and Geis,
Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. I don't doubt that. I want to see it. I think he's going to be very good.
Yeah.
I just don't want to build it up to something it can't be. Ray, is there too much smoke now where there is definitely fire around a pretty severe DeCastro injury or maybe something that can affect the end of his career? What's going on with DeCastro?
I don't get that sense yet. I mean, obviously it'll be a huge red flag if he's not out there, for the first practice of training camp. Yeah, they've been very tight-lipped about what's going on with him right now. You know, it could be a situation where they just want to get him to the point where, you know, he can line up day one and be a starter. I wouldn't be surprised if they're careful with him in training camp, too. We all know last year he suffered an injury in camp and missed a few games and then really wasn't the same player for the rest of the year. So they'll be smart with him. But to answer your question, I don't get the sense right now that it's a serious thing that, you know, it's going to affect him going into the regular season. I just think they're being very careful and, you know, really as they should with a guy who's 31 and has been around the block for a few times. I don't think there was any need to, you know, get him out there in OTAs or minicamp or anything like that.
Well, let's assume he's healthy then, Ray, and let's play that scenario out. What's it look like for Finney, for Hassenauer, and I understand those guys are going to be in the mix at center as well until Kedrick Green takes a hold of the position. But for those guys, as well as Trey Turner, where you only got so many spots on the roster you can use on offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look, I mean, they have kept nine offensive linemen the last couple of years. They really hadn't done that before. Usually the magic number is eight with the offensive line, but you know, you're probably going to keep Dan Moore, the fourth round pick. I think he's probably going to be on the roster. I don't know if he's going to be a guy who dresses, but you're going to have Finney and Hassenauer probably battling out for that top interior spot. And, Joe Haig and those types of guys, will fill in as the backup. So I don't know if there's going to be a ton of competition for those eight or nine spots. We probably know who those guys are going to be right now, but depth is very important. You saw last year with DeCastro going down, I thought Dotson did a really nice job, filling him in for him, you know, early in the season. So depth is important. I think they got some decent depth, but they can't afford any big injuries again this year. If they do, especially with what's going on with the running game, that's going to be really hard for them to compete if they have injuries again.
All right, not to overhype another guy, but James Pierre, to me, he looks like he can help. I'm going to put it that way. I don't know how good he can be. He can be solid, but they still need more depth at the cornerback position to me.
Yeah, that's one of the areas that they might have to address, Jim. But I agree with you. I think that guy sort of made his mark last year on special teams. He kind of came out of nowhere to make that roster as an undrafted free agent. And clearly, if you listen to Terrell Austin speak, last week, he's going to get a shot. You know, they like him. They're going to run him out there during training camp in the preseason, and they're going to see if he can handle the job. You know, and if not, they're going to have to, you know, see if Justin Lane can do it or, you know, go out and, scour the waiver wire or, you know, maybe make a trade. But this is a guy who has impressed, and, you know, we all know undrafted free agents in this day and age with the salary cap, they're very and very important. Building pieces for your roster. And if they could find a guy like him, you know, to have a key role in that secondary, that'll be huge for them.
All right, Ray, before we let you go, did you take another championship this weekend?
We did not, but we played extremely, extremely well. We knocked off a team that had been undefeated on Saturday. So it was a good weekend, even though...
All right, I choose to concentrate then on Sunday. What happened on Sunday? Did you just not live up to the potential that you showed on Saturday?
Nah, Sunday we were ahead 5-1 in a semifinal game against that same team that was Beaver Valley's top team. We actually run rolled them the previous day.
Nobody cares about semifinals. We're here for championships.
we had one bad inning and just kind of got away from us. But good weekend, awesome weekend.
I saw there was good news on the softball front as correct?
Yes, big thumbs up.
Yeah, well, that's the one silver lining. You know, we lose early on in baseball, and I was able to make it to my daughter's 8 o'clock playoff game up in Greentree. So I guess, Father's Day, it sort of worked out as best it could.
There we go. Happy Father's Day. Although they didn't come through. What happened in the bad inning? Did you call time? Did you get out there? Did you cuss him on the mound? How did this all work?
No, it was just one of those things where they started hitting our pitcher.
Yeah.
We couldn't make a play for him, and then we had some errors, too. When you compound everything like that, we just I think we ended up giving up 10 in the inning.
Whoa.
Just really, really bad. We haven't done that all year.
Coaching.
Wheels fell off.
You should have had
the time of year to lose control of this thing, Ray.
Coaching. If you would have had Derek Shelton, he never would have got to the point where they would have started hitting him. Or, well, last night, they would have left him in. I don't know. You can't win for losing.
No.
Anyway,
he would have changed pitchers five times.
Yeah, there was a great shot at Shelty, if you will. All right, what's your schedule now? You done, or you got some more tournaments?
No, off this week. Then we play the weekend of the 4th, and then I think we play the weekend of the 17th and 18th, and then we're done.
Yeah, off this week. Got to ice up after Beaver Valley gave it to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ray. We'll talk.
We gave it to them.
Yeah, in the semifinals.
Got to get the last word in.
And then
more chips, Ray.
Yes.
More chips, less excuses.
Yeah, we want to see rings. We don't want to see semifinalists. Thank you, Ray.
We'll
talk.
Better.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. See ya.
See ya. Ray's team is unreal. You know, you have to win if you walk into a tournament and your team is called The Show.
You knew something was wrong when he posted on Saturday on Facebook that they beat somebody 28-0,
yeah.
And then you didn't get any posts at all on Sunday.
Nothing. Yeah, whatever it was. And then nothing. The follow-up was his daughter's softball
yes.
game.
You're
it was like
uh-oh.
He ignored it.
Yep.
Like, did he think we thought it was rained out? It just rained at his house? Anyway. I love it. I love too Ray's uncomfortability when people who are like umpires and staffers and stuff are starting to mention that they heard about Ray's results on the radio, because I've known Ray for a long time and he is so uncomfortable
just trying to stay under the radar.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.